This is my rock. I met this rock this morning over there in the parking lot. This is my rock. Does it seem strange to you to say that to hear somebody say, I met this rock just this morning? Why is that so strange to you? It's not a person, place. Well, it is a person, place, or thing. It is a thing. It's not a person. And person is a category of relationship that we talk about. So, like, there was somebody that made a lot of money selling pet rocks, wasn't there? And they're still making money selling chia pets, aren't they? Chia pets in all sorts of shapes and sizes now. I saw some the other day that were like, no, that's deeply wrong. But the reason why it's so strange is literally what Bill has said, is that this is a thing, right? It's just a thing. And no matter how much I pour my relationship into it, it doesn't really give back, does it? There's not really give and take. And those of you who know what I mean about pet rocks, if you were longing for relationship and you needed a pet rock, but then you got a pet, what do you do with the rock the second that you get an actual pet? You just discard it, right? It's just over. And you do that because a pet, cat, dog, guinea pig, I don't know, whatever, bird, you give them relationship, but there is actually give and take a little bit in that relationship. Now, admittedly, less with a cat than with a dog. But there's still some form of give and take. But literally, when you go to your dog, let's say I know some of you have really loving dogs and they do amazing things, and Margene has trained helper dogs and service dogs and all that stuff. But when you're having a conversation with them, as you do, how does that go? Does it go a little bit like the old Charlie Brown commercials where the adults are talking and the kids, wah, 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 wah. This is what I imagine my cat hearing, right? Wah, 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 Shadow. Wah, 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 wah. Because Shadow is the cat's name. Or Storm, right? What's your dog's name? Maisie. So what does Maisie hear when you talk to Maisie? Maisie hears, blah, 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 Maisie. Blah, 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 blah. Yeah, right, right. Treats, right. That's the other word. They can learn minute. But what we have here is a different category of relationship. When you had the rock, you were essentially crossing two sorts of boundaries of relationship beyond what you can normally do. When you have a pet, you're still crossing a boundary of relationship, and it doesn't just quite work perfect. Things aren't perfect. Those of you who have really fabulous pets, but maybe you didn't have, I just remember the moment that when Karen and I were married, we had pets, and they were our children. Have you ever met those people? What happens when they get children? Right, but you understand that when you get a child, an actual child, your pets are not actually your children anymore. You have to do some of the same things, right? You have to teach them to go to the bathroom. You have to do all that. But you're actually training your kid to grow up and be something. And the relationship, while it starts off as sort of the Charlie Brown thing, it won't always be that way. Because personhood is the highest level of category that we have. It's the best way. So if we're doing this, you don't really relate across two boundaries very well with the rock. Do you want to just hold this up for me for the rest of the service? Yeah. But pets are a little closer to us. I just want to say this a little bit, that in the spiritual realm, there's us. We're kind of, God kind of put us at the center. If you read the beginning of the poem of Genesis, then God sort of put people right in the middle for a reason. But then there were angels. How many of you have ever thought about interacting with an angel? You've thought about it. Thought about it. That's a little bit like them interacting with a pet. Do you understand what I'm saying? Is that they come in there and people go, uh-oh, I'm in trouble. And the relationship is broken by the boundary between the different type of category that they are. The people are now sort of like the pets to people, to angels. Think about this for a second. Crossing one more boundary to godhood. How do you interact with gods? Prayer. But most of the time, we often think that, and you can see the roots of this in deism, which is the idea that God started the earth like an absentee watchmaker. He just made the earth, and it's set on motion, and he's over here, and we're down here, and he's not really doing anything. He set it in motion. It's all started and going like that. That happens because we're essentially down here struggling to understand the relationship between us and a God who's two categories above us, sort of like... Now, some of you will just, you can just hold this to me. I sort of feel like I'm a rock with a God. I don't really get what's going on very well. Does that make sense? That when you get to these two categories and we start to feel so separated from God, and this is something that I felt yesterday very specifically, but here's the big deal about Advent. Jesus crossed those boundaries for us so that we wouldn't feel afar off. See, God was never distant from us. We were distant from him. Do you understand that distinction that I'm making there? That God wasn't actually super distant. He wasn't actually an absentee watchmaker just setting the earth in motion and we're down here all to set our own rules and our own playground rules and all that stuff. That's not, by the way, that's what the Cider House Rules movie is about, is that we're actually supposed to set our own rules. But God set some rules for us, and to communicate it, he crossed those boundaries, not so that we would be near, but that we would know he was near. We were already actually near, even though we didn't perceive it. That's the technical part of the sermon today. What do you think? Have you ever felt separated from somebody and they didn't know anything about it? That's kind of how it is with us and God before Jesus. So Jesus came and crossed those boundaries to become human and to be in relationship, to clear up the confusion of those categories. That's what it means to feel afar off and have a God who loves you before you loved him, who came to rescue you. That's what last week, I was trying to get to some of that, and I left this little piece out last week, so I needed to go back and do this piece with you today, because the sermon today is for those who are near. Last week, we were talking about those who were far off. Well, you were never actually far off, you just felt like you were. But what do you do when you know God is near? What is your job? What is your role? How do you relate to Jesus when you know he's nearby? Let's read the text and find out. This is from John chapter 4. I am going to go back a couple of verses here to verse 25. The woman said, this is the woman at the well from last week, I don't know about that. That's Jesus talking about God seeking those who would worship in spirit and truth. I don't know about that. I do know that the Messiah is coming, and when he arrives, we'll get the whole story. Think about that for a second in my analogy of categories. The Messiah is coming, and when he comes, we're going to get the whole story. Now, God gave them the whole story. They just didn't understand it because they didn't understand the communication as clearly as they could have, just like me and my cat don't actually understand each other very well. I am he, said Jesus. You don't have to wait any longer or look any further. Then his disciples came back, and they were shocked. They couldn't believe he was talking with that kind of woman. None of them said what they were all thinking, but their faces were showing it. The woman took the hint and left. This is in modern English. You understand that Jesus is talking with a Samaritan woman, and really the Jews didn't do that. Right, she was from the wrong side of the tracks. Or if you were in England, beyond the pale. That's the same thing. Have you ever heard that phrase, beyond the pale? Beyond the pale is a fence that separated Protestant Ireland from Catholic Ireland. And to be on the pale was to be outside of acceptability. The woman took the hint and left, and in her confusion, she left her water jug. Now, just remember that. She came to draw water, and the whole conversation started with Jesus about, woman, can you give me a drink? And she goes, how is it that you, a Jew, would be talking to me? But she left her water pot behind and went down into the village, and she told people, come see a man who knew all about the things I did, who knows me inside and out. Do you think this is the Messiah? And they went out to see for themselves. What do you think our job is as believers, of people that have met Jesus, that know he's nearby? What do you think our job is when we believe? Yeah, go and make the introduction. That's what she's doing. She's just going, do you know he's near? Let me go get some other people and bring them near. That sounds pretty simple, doesn't it? Until it's your family member that knows all the stuff you've done wrong too. She's doing that. There's some more. In the meantime, the disciples pressed him, Rabbi, aren't you going to eat the food we've brought for you? He says, I have food to eat you know nothing about. Now, before I go on, I need to make sure that you know that Jesus was having a conversation with her about living water versus water you drink every day. And now the disciples were going out to get him food. And none of this was about his body needs. As soon as he started talking to her, he started saying to her, look, if you knew who was talking to you, you'd ask him for living water and it would take care of you for the rest of your life. And then they get into this discussion about Messiah. Sometimes the people who know Jesus is nearby don't get who he is. Sometimes the people closest to him sort of get used to, well, you know, we have these daily needs stuff and we got to take care of that stuff and we'll just make sure, we'll just take care of Jesus. Have you ever been doing something and you looked up and like 5 hours had passed and you didn't know it had happened? And it's like all your needs of your body weren't there. They were just, you were fine. On the other hand, if you aren't doing anything, how long can you go without food? If you're bored, about an hour. That's exactly right. When you're doing the work of God, even Jesus, when he's doing God's work, look, he didn't need the drink anymore. He didn't need the food anymore. His needs were taken care of. He didn't have to look after him himself. The best example I can give you of this is this. If you're how many of you have been in the Army? Do you see action? Anybody? Your dad did. Okay, when you're in the Army and you're at the fort, who does your laundry? You do. When you're up at the front and you're fighting, do you have to go get your food and all that stuff, or they take care of you? That's right. But if you're in the trenches and they're doing this, they're taking care, they're making sure you get the things you need because you're in the battle.
You're back at the fort, sitting around in between training. You're taking care of yourself. This is what's going on in the story. So what does it mean when Jesus is near? Since we've already discussed this, Jesus is always near. He's always just so near. The example is this, that when you're struggling and you're doing something wrong. Here, I'll just do it this way. When I'm struggling and I'm doing something wrong and I feel like God is a long way away from me, and I'm looking this way and I'm doing this thing and I turn around in repentance. That's what repentance means. I turn around, I go, I'm doing it wrong. I change my direction. God is right there with me. He didn't have to hustle. He was always there. It was my attention that was turned wrongly. But he was always right there going, I'm right here with you. Why would you do it that way? Now, I know I'm preaching to me, but is there anybody in the room that can understand that feeling? You ever did something wrong, you just turn right around, that God was always near, no matter how far away he was. But once you know he's near, what should you be doing? Does your methodology in the way you do things need to change sometimes? Even the simplest things. I need to make sure you know that this relates to this one statement that I've made over and over and over. Right? There's no place in the world so good that it no longer needs to hear God's word. There's also no place so bad that he doesn't want his word heard there anymore. And you've heard me say that. Now I'm going to personalize it for a second. There's no place in your life so good that it no longer needs God's attention. And there's no spot in your life that's so bad that he's not wanting his attention there. Right? He's paying attention. All of you, he knows everything about you. And when he's near, you get to go say things like this. Her story is really quite good, isn't it? Come see a man who told me everything about me. I think that's the Messiah. You want to go check that out? That's quite a bit different than the way we often think about our job as Christians and doing witnessing ought to be. Do you notice that she doesn't put on any airs anymore? She doesn't go, well, I'm pretty good now, and I met the Messiah. She doesn't do that. She goes, come meet a man who told me about me. He knew me better than I knew me. She's not covering up. She's not making sure she looks really good. She's just going, I think I met the Messiah. Maybe you come check it out. Often we put such a pressure on ourselves to do the witnessing right. But the issue here is that when God comes near, he transforms all our methods. The food that keeps me going is that I do the will of the one who sent me. This is Jesus talking. Finishing the work he started. As you look around right now, wouldn't you say that in about 4 months it will be time for harvest? Well, I'm telling you to open up your eyes and take a good look at what's right in front of you. The Samaritan fields are ripe and it's harvest time. The harvester isn't waiting. He's taking his pay, gathering in his grain. That's ripe for eternal life. Now the sower is arm in arm with the harvester and triumphant. That's the truth of the saying. This one sows and that one harvests. I sent you to harvest a field you never worked. Without lifting a finger, you have walked in on a field worked long and hard by others. This isn't just in a vacuum either. Do you know in Deuteronomy, God says to them, I'm going to give you towns that you didn't build and fields you didn't plant. Way back. See, Jesus isn't just making this up as he goes along. He's doing what he's always seen the Father do. Look, the fields are ripe out there, and all they're looking for is somebody to come in and make the designation of saying, hey, did you know Jesus is nearby? Why don't you come meet him? Jesus is near. What do we do when Jesus is near? What should we be doing when Jesus is near? Embracing him. But not just embracing him, okay? I love that idea. Okay, that's first, right? By the way, we call that worship. And when you come here to worship, I know that there are people in here that say, such and such has to be right for me to worship. But if your eyes, if you're worshiping, you won't notice that stuff. Because the Lord's in charge. As soon as you take your eyes off the Lord, you'll notice the other stuff. But that is embrace, right? When you're embracing somebody, you're not noticing other people. You're on that. But when we worship, but true worship doesn't just stay there. It changes its life and methodology to match the Lord. True worshipers are what the Lord is, that will worship him in spirit and in truth. That's the text just before we got started. In context, that means that we're gonna notice he's nearby, and then our lives are gonna change, and basically our whole job comes into worship and mission, to be doing what the Father is doing. That's what he says, to walk into the field that's already planted and ripe. How do we do that? Well, the Samaritan woman has the methodology just right. She goes out and says, hey, I just met somebody over here, told me all about me. Come meet him. That's the whole of the method. This is what we do for those who are near. And now you know that God's not actually far off, that everybody is near. All they need is the introduction. Let's pay attention to that. Let's be that people that worship, adore, and serve. Lord Jesus, I thank you for today. I thank you for your love. Thank you for bringing us together this morning, for bringing us to this place on this Advent Sunday. I thank you for each and every person here, for your love that is working in them and through them, for the love you've poured out on them that is for them, but also on the way to others in them. Yes, Lord. Amen.